This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Democratic candidates for president have long moved on from Wisconsin since their Thursday night debate at UW-Milwaukee. But while they and the Republican candidates vie for votes in Nevada and South Carolina, the campaign lives on nationally in the news and on social media.
In fact, social media is increasingly where people turn to find news and try to affect change as well. We in the traditional media recognize this, and so do companies like Facebook.
Facebook was a co-sponsor of the UWM debate, convening a group that contributed questions to Clinton and Sanders. It also sponsored a media lounge in which large touchscreen televisions charted how Americans are using Facebook during this election cycle.
Crystal Patterson is government and politics outreach manager for Facebook, and we spoke with her in the media lounge. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk.
I'm really thrilled to be here.
Well, where do you see Facebook as a source for political news in 2016?
Well, I think a lot of the election conversation is happening on Facebook. I mean, all the candidates are using Facebook to communicate their policy positions and ideas to the public. The public is certainly talking back to the candidates on the platform. We just see a lot of activity around it, and people really are getting political news, not just from the candidates themselves, but from other news sources on Facebook. I mean, 40%, people get 40% of their news on Facebook.
Well, and one of the interesting things, we're standing in the Facebook lounge, if you will, in the UWM Union, and you've got this really interesting touchscreen display that has a variety of pieces of data on it. And one of the interesting aspects to that is the ability to kind of, it's not exactly public opinion polling, but it really offers a reflection of what?
The data that we have on display here at the event displays interactions and data around people's activity on Facebook for the last 30 days. And the way that we have the data set up in here, you can look at it by candidate, by issue. We have a map so you can go into each state and see what issues and candidates are getting the most kind of juice on the platform. I mean, one of the things to remember is that this includes all conversation and interaction around those candidates. So,
right. So knowing that Ted Cruz is getting a lot of interactions does not necessarily mean Ted Cruz is getting a lot of support in a particular place.
Correct. And Donald Trump, who has huge numbers all the time, that cuts both ways because that's all the people who love him, but also all the people who are wondering what's going on with his campaign and why.
It's interesting because it really has not been that long since the storyline was that, for example, the Obama campaign really understood social media and was really able to exploit it in a way that other candidates did not. That is really not the case anymore. Everybody's got to be really savvy about this stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I think campaigns and, you know, people working in politics have learned to keep up or try to keep up with the speed of the internet. Also, you know, the Obama campaign did a really wonderful job with leveraging digital tools, and people learned a lot from that experience. Some of the biggest things they got right that I think all the campaigns are emulating on both sides of the aisle are being really timely and really being authentic and showing who the candidate really is. Those things really do make a big difference on social media and on Facebook in particular, and can really help draw support and interaction on the page. Ben Carson's a great example of this. He's built up a huge following on Facebook, and a lot of that is just because of the level of engagement he's had on the platform. He, for a long time, was regularly doing Q&As every night to answer a few questions from supporters. And those things sound small, but one, he's reaching a big audience on our platform, and two, the consistent engagement really does make a big difference and really helps build up credibility and loyalty with his audience.
So if engagement and mentions and interactions don't necessarily register as support, what should we take from that kind of data?
Well, even if the conversation isn't necessarily positive about a candidate, I mean, they're certainly still driving the conversation, which if you're a candidate and you're trying to get earned media and attention on what you're trying to talk about, that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
This is any publicity is good publicity.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, obviously, for the campaigns, they want this to be driven in as positive a direction as possible. But it's still good for them to be getting that buzz and to get more people to pay attention to them. Because even if certain people go to their page because they don't like what the candidate's saying, maybe in Trump's on Trump's campaign, there's still other people who are showing up who are interested because they do want to find out more and may be interested in what he or the other candidates have to offer. So even though it cuts both ways, I still think it's good for them to be, they want to reach as many voters as possible, and Facebook is certainly the best place for them to do that.
There's a really interesting feature that you have, and that is the conversation timeline, and we're going to post a video of that timeline.
Yeah.
But can you kind of walk us through what it's telling us?
Yeah, sure. That's actually one of our newer features on this this display we have, and it's really neat. It kind of walks through over a period of time what issues are getting the most attention on the platform. And basically, as you'll see, it starts August of last year and just goes through day by day and shows, basically it's like a word bubble. So as the topics like religion get more buzz on the platform, the words get bigger, and you can just see how things pop and kind of regress as things happen offline.
So you could easily kind of go back and cross-reference the words that are getting larger with what was going on in the news at that point.
Yeah, so a couple of examples: government ethics pop, and it seems to relate to when there are new revelations or information around Hillary's email use at the State Department. Their Homeland Security, Iraq, Syria, ISIS seem to pop when there's issues relating to national security or incidents around the world. I mean, again, it makes sense when you think about it, but being able to take a step back and look at it big picture and see how these issues ebb and flow, this also follows how they ebb and flow in the campaign. So it's really interesting to see the relationship between the conversation online with what's going on offline as well.
This is kind of real-time archiving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super interesting. I mean, this is actually a relatively new feature for us because, again, we built this around 30 days of data. We've now been following the campaign for long enough that we've got some meaningful data to pull from to make these kind of graphics and charts to see how the conversation's evolving on Facebook.
Now it's significant that this lounge that we're in is connected to the media center. How do you see the media using Facebook as a reference tool during the election?
Well, I think Facebook has been valuable for the media to find content from the candidates and from supporters. We actually, on primary day in New Hampshire and in caucus day in Iowa, were circulating a lot of content from the campaigns and from real people, showing how the conversation was evolving on the ground and also how it was playing out around the country and how people were seeing things as they went along throughout the day. It's a great place to find content. Also, you can embed from Facebook. And, you know, for the media, I think it's valuable for them to see how people are responding in the comments to the content, because we do have a lot of really interesting debates going on between the supporters online as well.
One of the things that people have talked about is over time, candidates have relied less on face-to-face interactions with the media and are going straight to social media to get their message out and to reach potential supporters. But I wonder if social media cuts both ways, that they can't completely circumvent the media by going straight to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Sure. I think Facebook in particular, but social media really helps complement their earned media efforts. It can also help. Again, I looked at the Ben Carson example. He was able to kind of build a name for himself using social media, and then that translated into the press paying more attention to him as they saw, you know, his growth as a candidate. I do think that the social media platforms can help amplify their message in a way that it's hard to do otherwise, just with the way people's media consumption habits are changing. So I would say that the media still plays a crucial role in all of this, and that the campaigns certainly are very reliant on talking to reporters and answering those important questions, but that their Facebook presence and using other platforms can really help amplify the message even more and just give them another outlet. Because, you know, it's hard sometimes, I think, to tell the story of why they're campaigning or how they feel about an issue in one interview, whereas on Facebook, they have more latitude and more options to tell that story.
Do you think social media makes it easier for a campaign to do damage control?
I think it certainly gives them more options in terms of how they want to address an issue. And it certainly is nice for them to have a place to put out a statement or say something on a particular issue and not have to worry about it getting filtered in a certain way or having to kind of frame it within the confines of a larger story. So I do think it can be helpful with that.
Is the kind of information that's on this touch screen here in the Facebook Lounge available to the general public?
That's a good question. I don't think we have this on the site anywhere. We have been on a regular basis sharing information with the press so that they could include, as they're talking about debates, primary days, caucus days, to give some more context to the conversation that's happening on Facebook. Honestly, most people don't come to Facebook looking for a listing of issues as it relates to the candidates. They go to the candidates' pages to hear their message from them directly and to find out what's going on with the campaign, what campaign events they can attend, and also, frankly, with their friends friends and colleagues and contacts are saying about the campaign. Facebook is first and foremost about connecting people, and we know that people rely on the opinions and thoughts of the people they know the most to help shape their own feelings. And so that's another reason why Facebook is such a powerful tool for the campaigns, because their supporters sort of act as surrogates on the platform and can really help carry their message. And I think that's a lot of what people are looking for as well.
Well, one of the storylines about electoral politics in this country has always been the level of disengagement, the low voter turnout numbers. But the data you have here, it doesn't necessarily translate to people going to the ballot box, but it certainly speaks to a highly politicized electorate.
I think it's a highly engaged electorate, certainly on Facebook. People are really interested in the campaign. It's been an exciting campaign so far. You know, I think obviously whenever there's a presidential campaign, you know, interest is heightened and people are more engaged. And also, you know, on Facebook, you can talk about specific issues in a way that, again, I think it's harder to do in other areas. Even sometimes when you're talking with friends, it's hard to not get caught up in either getting distracted or getting in an argument. And because it's a written form of communication and also just the cadence of the platform, it just makes it easier to have real conversations and kind of deep dive on issues.
All right, but be honest. When you look at your own news feed, do you get a little exhausted by the number of political articles that are posted and go straight to the pictures of somebody's kids?
No, I'm probably not the right person to ask, since I've been working in politics for a long time. And I'm based in Washington, D.C., so, that's like default. But yes, and actually you bring up something that's really important. People are interested in political information, but they also, again, go to Facebook to talk to their friends, to hear from people they know, including, pictures of their friends' kids, people's pets, all that good stuff. And the campaigns have to keep that in mind as they're posting as well, because, you know, nobody wants to see a press release garbled in the middle of their feed where they're trying to see all these really personal things for them. So the campaigns have to take that into account as well. But yeah, you know, people have some control too. We try to give people as many controls as possible. So if they start seeing content they don't like, they can let us know and we'll show them less of that. So we try to make it so that even if they're seeing political stuff, it's a good experience for them and what they want to see.
Crystal Patterson, thanks so much.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much.
Crystal Patterson is Government and Politics Outreach Manager at Facebook. She's based in Washington. We caught up with her in Milwaukee, where Facebook was a co-sponsor of Thursday evening's debate between Democrats contending for their party's nomination.
You can see a video of the news timeline Patterson described at WUWM.com. Keep listening. After the break, we will examine what the future of solar power in Wisconsin might look like. That comes your way next on Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.